Hello, and welcome to First Baptist Church.
Let's pray together. Oh, Jesus, yours is the sweetest name we know, for there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved than Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Your very name means Yahweh saves. And so, Lord, it is our joy to pronounce it this day. It is our joy to pronounce it all Advent long as we look to the one who came to redeem us. We're so thankful. And so, Lord, allow us now to lay aside distractions and focus intently on your word. We pray that through your word and by your spirit, you would do work of eternal consequence in each of us. Transform us by the renewing of our minds to make us more like Jesus. For it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. So I have to tell you, far and away, my absolute favorite song was part of our worship through music today. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. The song was written by Keith Getty and Stuart Townend in 2002. And the first time I heard it was in 2004 at a WKU FCA meeting. I'd been invited to speak at WKU FCA because at one time I was almost an athlete and they wanted to hear what God had done in my life. But I'll tell you, that song wrecked me when we sang it before I got up to speak. I'd never heard before such dense, thick, rich, lyrical, theological content put together in such a simple way. To hear about the incarnation and birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, about his suffering yet sinless life, about his substitutionary death on the cross, and about his triumphant resurrection from the grave. Just unbelievable how beautiful it was, as it was all just kind of linked together and sung by us. But then, before all of that detail and after all that detail were a beginning verse and an ending verse that spoke to what all of that means to me as a believer in Jesus Christ. Let me remind you of what we just sang together. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ, I stand. And then the last verse. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Stuart Townend gave an interview many years ago about the writing of this song, and he said this: the lyric of this song excites me because it places our hope, our assurance, our eternal destiny in the right place, on the solid foundation of Christ. I know in my own life, I need reminding continually not to live by my feelings or my circumstances, but by the unchanging truth of the gospel. How easy is it to live by our feelings based upon our circumstances? How many of you have found that your circumstances are ever changing? Life is very much a roller coaster. There are highs and there are lows and there are points in between. Some of it is boring, but most of it is exciting, and a lot of the excitement is excitement we would not otherwise have chosen if given the opportunity, and yet there it is. And it's really easy, for me anyway, and maybe for you, to base the foundation of my life and the degree of my hope on what's going on around me. I'm so thankful that Stuart Townend said that it's easy for him to experience that too. As one of the writers of this amazing song that better be played at my funeral whenever that comes. As one of the writers of this amazing, densely theological and encouraging song, he struggles with that too. And I'm so glad he does, because that means I might be halfway normal. And maybe if you struggle with that a little bit, that might mean you're halfway normal too. And it might mean that there is a God who meets us in that moment, who meets us in the swirling circumstances around us and reminds us that those circumstances are not beyond His control. Who reminds us that though our sin had carried us far away from Him, we weren't too far for His reach. Who reminds us that while we were still sinners, that's when He came for us. And that's the message of Christmas. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christmas is God storming the beaches of enemy-occupied territory to rescue His people through Jesus. That's hope. That's hope that transcends the swirling circumstances around me. That's hope that provides for me a steady foundation upon which to build my life. It's hope that allows me to navigate whatever circumstances come, knowing that in the end, God wins. And if I'm in Christ, then I win too, no matter what I have to go through on the way to that victory. That victory is mine because there is no power of hell, there is no scheme of man that could ever pluck me from His hand until He returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. That's hope this Advent season. I want to invite you to open your Bible to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to spend the next 4 Sundays, today and the next 3, going through 2 verses. Half of the first one today, the second half next week, half of the second one the next Sunday, and the remainder of that second one the following week. But we're going to look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. If you're in the Pew Bible in front of you here in the room, that is page 974. But let me read these two verses that will frame our Advent season together, and then we'll talk about what God wants us to hear today. The Apostle Paul, writing to the churches of Galatia, as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, says this: "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." One more time. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." We're going to see over the course of the next 4 Sundays the best gifts that anyone could receive. Gifts of hope and peace. Gifts of joy and love. Gifts in Jesus Christ our Lord that give us eternal life in Him. And our theme for today's message is just the first half of Galatians 4, verse 4. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son." When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. And we're going to kind of navigate this half of a verse through the blanks that, if you're taking notes, are there before you. And the first blank is the first word, "but." And that's a very important word, and it may not seem like much to you when you first look at it, but it's a vitally important word within the context of this verse, and it's a vitally important word within the context of our lives. The first point this morning is this: hope came when we needed it most. Hope came when we needed it most. How many of you have found that God is right on time? Never early, never late, just right on time. Now, we might not understand His timing at first, but hope came when we needed it the most. If you look back to verse 3, Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, it gives you a hint of where we were before God moved. Galatians 4, 3 says, "In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world." We were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. In verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 8, just a few verses down, Paul would say, "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods." So Paul is speaking to Jews and Gentiles who have come to Jesus. And those who come from a Jewish background come from a context in which they had the Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments that were a summary of the 613 commandments. And remember, the function of the law was to call us to the standard by which we could walk with God. The problem was nobody met the standard. Until Jesus came, no human being met the standard of God's law. Nobody was perfect. Neither am I, and neither are you. So the Mosaic Law functions to show us how far away from God we are. Or if they were coming from a Gentile background, they were coming from pagan religions that had their own rules, their own rituals, their own sacrifices even, that were driving them further and further and further away from God. And so Paul says, formerly, we were enslaved. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul would paint that picture a little bit more fully in verses 1 through 3 by saying, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that was now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." In verse 12, he would say, "At that time we were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise," listen to this, "having no hope and without God in the world." And that's the context into which the Apostle Paul, here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, starts off with the word "but." In Greek, it's "duh," D-E. It is called the adversative particle. The adversative particle. It indicates a change in direction. What is being said now is the opposite of what was previously said. It is translated into English as the word "but," an adversative conjunction. Once again, we're hitting the brakes and we're going 180 degrees in the opposite direction. But, back to Ephesians 2, after telling us that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, that we were slaves to the devil, to the world, to the flesh. In verse 4, Paul would say, "But God." There's that adversative particle again. There's that adversative conjunction again. He's changing directions. God changed directions. We were without hope, and that's when God moved. God did not leave us where we were. God did not say they're too far gone. God came for us. And he came for us by sending his son Jesus. I'm so thankful that we have a God who is not inextricably bound to our sinful nature and our previous sinful decisions. How many of you stand in awe of the fact that God would want somebody like you? Boy, I do. Because I know things about me that you don't know about me, that nobody knows about me. And God knows all that and even more. And nevertheless, he came. He came looking for us. He came seeking to save us. The Bible says Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. You know why? He didn't have to. We were already condemned when he came. He came to reverse the curse by dying on the cross and rising again from the grave. While we were yet sinners, not after we had started going to church a little bit, not after we had cleaned ourselves up a little bit, not after we had started to get some things settled and right in our lives, while we were still sinners, not looking for him at all, that's when God came. I'm so thankful that if Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 begins with the word "but," in which God changes our previously unchangeable trajectory. We were headed to hell, and God showed up through his son so that we could be forgiven and be with him forevermore in heaven. The verse continues, "But when the fullness of time had come," the fullness of time, what does that mean? It means when God said so. It means in God's perfect timing. Theologian Symer Gathercole from the University of Cambridge says, "God sent his son at the right moment in human history when God's providential oversight of the events of the world had directed and prepared peoples and nations for the incarnation and ministry of Christ and for the proclamation of the gospel.
Theologian S.M. Ball from Westminster Seminary in California says that when the time was ripe for the fulfillment of God's plan, that's when Jesus came. But in the fullness of time, when the fullness of time had come, what does that mean? That means when God said so. In his providential governance of the world, he sent Jesus at just the right time. It's language that Jesus himself would use as he started his ministry. Mark's gospel reminds us that Jesus started by saying this, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The time is fulfilled. The time has come. The fullness of time has come. God has come in his perfect timing. We can summarize that by saying this. In God's providential and active government of creation, he, quote, works all things according to the counsel of his will. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Such that, listen to this, he works all things according to the counsel of his will, such that, quote, "For those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." That's Romans 8, 28. So if you're a believer in Jesus, you've repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then Jesus has come into your life. He has called you his own. You belong to him. Nothing can snatch you away from him. And he is working all things for the counsel of his will, but he is working all things together for good to you. That doesn't mean all things are good, but it means that our God is so powerful that he can work all things together for good to us. When I was in college, First Baptist Church of Danville had a sign. They've moved. They've got a new facility, but this sign in their downtown campus said simply this, "Hope copes." Romans 8, 28. Hope copes. And even when I was in college, I was encouraged by the fact that my hope was anchored by the fact that God is actively working in my life, even when I can't sense it, even when I can't see it, even when I don't know what he's doing. I know he's doing something, and that's enough because I know how he feels about me, how he feels about you. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "The Christian blesses God when he smites him. He believes him to be too wise to err and too good to be unkind. He trusts him where he cannot trace him, looks up to him in the darkest hour, and believes that all is well." In other words, when I can't see God at work, walking by faith, I know he is at work. And I trust him even when I can't tell what he's doing. Because when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. And when the fullness of time comes for us, all of us who trust and follow Jesus, we will see that it's okay. We'll understand it better by and by, the song says. We may not understand it now. Our job's not to understand, our job's to trust and to follow. Well, the third part of this little verse, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son." Third point, hope came in God's only begotten Son. Hope came in God's only begotten Son. Just as we don't have faith in faith, you know, people tell you all the time, just have faith, it'll be all right. Faith in what? Faith in faith? Faith in fate? Faith in circumstances? Faith in what? No, we don't have faith in faith. We have faith in Jesus. And just as we have faith, not just in faith, but in Jesus, we have hope, not in hope. Our hope has a firm foundation. Jesus Christ, our Lord. The one who came for us, the one who lived without sin, the one who died for us, and the one who rose again from the grave, the one who opens his arms to all people and says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I don't know, maybe coming off of Thanksgiving, maybe stepping into the Advent season, still trying to figure out whatever this new normal is, still watching your news feed or reading your newspaper and wondering what's going to become of all of this. Maybe you're in a place where you need some hope that is built not upon sentimentality, but that is built upon the firm foundation of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who sent God the Son through the womb of the Virgin Mary to be born in a stable in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, to grow, to become the Savior of the world. Maybe you need some hope. Can I encourage you this Advent season? Look to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Trust Jesus. Follow Jesus. He is our hope. In a world of swirling and shifting circumstances, we proclaim exactly what we sang this morning. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I'll stand. Would you pray with me? Father, in Jesus' name, we say thank you. We say thank you for your amazing love for us that compelled you to send Jesus for us so that we might have hope that transcends our circumstances and calls us to look ahead to what will be. For you have secured it for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.